The following program is rated U for universal audiences and is considered suitable for listeners of all ages.
This is a presentation of Dream Realm Enterprises, where dreams are our reality.
Why have we stopped?
There seems to be some fellow sitting in the road ahead.
That's very strange. We should be careful, Blondo.
Heading for trouble. I just knows it.
Well, if there's trouble, I'll handle it.
I'll ease us forward a bit so we can get a gander at this person. Hello there. I wonder, can you move out of the road so that we may pass?
Why should you want to pass when you found just what you're looking for? Eh, little halfling?
What does he mean, Blondo?
Search me.
I don't like it.
There are many things we find on the path that are not to our liking. However, that does not mean that they are not to our benefit.
What the devil is going on?
That's what we'd all like to know, Divine.
You seek Harrow, do you not, Lily Fairheart?
How can you know my name?
A seer sees.
Is this guy for real?
Reality is in the eye of the beholder.
I don't think that's quite right. At least, that's not how I always heard it.
Nothing is as it seems, but you seek answers, do you not, Lillian Fairheart?
I do.
Then allow me to help you.
I'll do whatever it takes.
If that is the case, then allow me to transport just us two from this place, so that we may speak more privately.
I don't like the sound of this, Lily.
I understand, Divine, but if I'm finally going to resolve all of this, I need to take a chance.
Be careful, Miss Lily.
I will be, Fiona, I promise. Harrow, I am prepared to do anything for the answers I seek.
I thought you were.
Lily?
Oh, where did they go?
They just disappeared. Lily and Harrow are gone.
Not a good sign.
Oh, Lil, I sure hope you know what you're doing.
You are listening to Magic Monsters of Mayhem, Book 3, Chapter 8, The Ever-Converging Path, written by Jonathan Patrick Russell.
Is this it? Is this the place, Faust?
Indeed it is. This is the Wayfair Ruins. The one we seek lives here.
A funny place to live.
Any funnier than where dwarves call home?
Most of us prefer to live underground where it's safe.
If you call that safety.
Sounds cold, dark, and lonely to me.
Actually, it's quite cozy.
I've seen a few dwarven homes. They could be quite cozy indeed.
Nobody asked you, Shorty.
Can't we be kind to one another? It will make this journey all the more tolerable, don't you think, Zoe?
I suppose you have a point, Fitz. Sorry.
Apology accepted, young one.
So, how do we get an audience with this seer?
Yes, you haven't even told us her name, Faust.
Apologies. That detail simply hadn't come up. Her name is Gira, but getting an audience with her can be quite problematic.
Problematic? In what way, Faust?
First, we must summon her go-between.
Go-between? You mean we have to set up an appointment?
Oh, this is sounding better and better.
Who is this go-between, Faust, and how do we make contact?
He's a rather odd fellow. His name is Zisk. He's what is known as a Halper. They're sort of an offshoot of the fairy people.
I don't like fairy folk. Never met a good one.
Well, not all of them are evil. Some can be quite helpful of their choosing. We need the help of this one, I'm afraid. And to summon him, we have to light the blue flames.
Blue flames? What's that?
There are three torches on that altar just over there. We must light them, and then they must be manipulated to turn blue. Once they've done so, Zisk will appear to us.
How can we be sure of that? I mean, is this Zisk even a real person?
Doesn't sound real to me. Maybe he's a fairy sort.
Zisk is real, I can assure you. Though, like no other being I've encountered before. You'll see what I mean.
If he actually appears.
So, will you do the honors, Faust?
Yes, I will light the torches.
So how do you manipulate the flames to make them turn blue? They look like typical flames to me.
Yes, this is a trick I'm dying to see.
Luckily, I have a bit of fairy dust.
Fairy dust? Ha! First we need the help of a fairy. Now we need fairy dust. This yarn gets spun more and more tightly.
There's no such thing as fairy dust. That's just an old wives' tale.
No, Zoe. I've seen it. Really, I have. On my travels.
Your travels, eh? I'll have to see it to believe it, Imp.
I thought we were going to be kind to one another, eh, Zoe?
Oh, sorry. Sometimes my mouth moves before my brain kicks in.
So it would seem.
It's all right, young Zoe. No harm done.
Shall I proceed?
Well, what are you waiting for, lad?
Please do, Faust.
Certainly, as you wish.
What?
Zisk will appear in his own time.
Almost like, not at all.
Give it a chance, you guys.
Yes, we must be patient. Zisk will appear when he is ready to do so.
I'll believe that when I see it.
Yes? May I help you?
This is the chamber of the regional governess, Lady Natilda Fortigue, is it not?
Oh, indeed it is, yes.
Well, is she in or out?
Oh, she's in, yes.
Obviously, you don't know who I am. Otherwise, we wouldn't still be standing in the doorway. But could you please inform the governess that Viscountess Wyneth Tralgott is calling?
Ooh, yes, of course. I do beg your pardon. She's expecting you. Come in, come in.
Oh, at last.
Milady Natilda, Viscountess Trelgott is here to see you.
Ah, Winnie. Winnie, how nice it is to see you again.
Always so informal, eh, Natilda?
Shall I bring some tea and biscuits, m'lady?
Would you like a nice cuppa, Winnie?
A nice what? Look, never mind. May we just speak in private, Natilda?
Of course, Winnie dear. Rast, please go away and make yourself busy.
Of course, m'lady. I'm sure I can find something to do in the kitchen.
Yeah, I really don't need to know the details. Just go away, Rast. Just go.
As you wish, m'lady. Yes.
I see you have a new servant.
Well, let's just say, we're giving him a test run.
How utterly uninteresting. At any rate, I haven't come here for idle chit-chat, you know.
But then why have you come to Terse, Winnie dear? I mean, why have you chosen to grace us with your presence?
I am here in an official capacity. Surely you were warned of my visit and the purpose of such.
Oh, I was informed of why you were coming. Yes, it was over something about the council, I believe.
Something, yes. The matter of the mysterious deaths of 6 very powerful mages, which is a rather significant event, which you seem to not regard as highly important, since we've read nothing about the incident in any of your recent reports to the Emperor.
Well, I assumed Archbishop Fenton made an official report about the incident, didn't he? I believe it was a case of, recall, something about, food poisoning.
Archbishop Fentham did make a report, yes. But in his report, he is rather vague about the whole thing. His report did mention something about illness, but food poisoning wasn't mentioned.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. They all became deathly ill. Suddenly. It was, what a shame.
Haven't you discussed the matter with Archbishop Fentham? I mean, I find it strange that you seem so poorly informed on what is considered by the court as a major event here in Terse. Yet, you're behaving as if the event was, how shall I put it, run-of-the-mill.
Oh, Winnie, you know how it goes. There are so many matters that cross over my desk, so many little things for our regional governess to deal with. I just left it in the hands of Bertram Fentham and that wretched academy, yes. I try not to sully my hands with all the trivial things going on over at that school.
The Council of Mages is larger than the goings-on at a school. That council's purpose was to help govern this town.
Really? I thought governing the town of Terse fell under the direct jurisdiction of the regional governess, which is little old me, I believe. I've heard no real complaints about how I've handled things around here, so I suppose I've simply decided to not worry about the lack of advice from the Council of Mages.
So, let me get this straight. In your eyes, the deaths of the members of the Council of Mages has actually been more of a convenience for you rather than a tragedy. Interesting.
Well, I suppose it's a great shame to the community to lose such respected old men. But I don't know if I'm honest, and
may as well be, the lack of interference via council in my local matters has simply made things less complicated. Yeah, that's it. I mean, I honestly don't. We don't see a need for a council at all in this day and age, do you? I mean, I fail to see any reason why the lack of a council in Taos should really worry the Emperor in any way. In fact, oh, there's really no reason he should even give it a second thought. Yes, in other words, I've got matters well in hand here, dear. Perhaps we should leave the status quo as it stands.
Is that a fact?
Yes. In fact, I'd say things have never run smoother than they are running right now here in Taos. So much less some, red tape. Yes, I believe that is the colloquialism.
Well, it may be of interest to you to know that this matter does indeed concern the Emperor greatly. And he isn't happy at all with the status quo, whatever that means. And that he himself will be arriving in a couple of days to, shall we say, look into the matter personally.
Is that really necessary? Can you just send a message to reassure the Emperor that things are, you know, just fine here in Taos, and that, he need not worry himself over the matter?
The Emperor is quite concerned about the matter, I can assure you, and so am I. Either way, despite your reassurances, and despite your request, sending the Emperor a message would make no difference. Emperor Leighton is already on his way, and I can assure you he will keep the appointment. He wants to see for himself exactly what's going on here in Taos. He has heard many rumours about the goings-on here, and he doesn't like what he's heard. Nor do I. So, no matter what you say at this point, there will be a thorough imperial investigation into everything happening here in Taos.
Well then, if it makes the Emperor feel better, then by all means, investigate to your heart's content.
Oh, we will. And I hope you haven't got anything to hide, Natilda dear, because it will come out, you know. Every little secret you may have will come to light during this investigation. Good day, Natilda. Until we meet again.
Rust! Come here at once!
You called, m'lady?
Oh, yes, of course I called! I've got work to do.
Good morning, Rosa.
Oh, hello, Fitz.
So, how are you faring after your unexpected visit with your kinfolk? We haven't had much time to talk about it along the trail.
It was touch and go for a little while there, but I think my sister and I managed to patch things up okay, thanks to our father.
Your father, King Arion, seems a very wise man.
He is, very wise. And he has a big heart. I mean, he may have a powerful bark, but in the end, he's just a big cuddly bear.
I'd like the chance to get better acquainted with him, and your sister, of course.
She's a lot less cuddly, and not the easiest person to get close to. But I suppose she's all right, once you cut away the layers of resentment and distrust.
So, are you saying you're a lot more trusting than she is?
A lot, yes.
I was quite pleased that you accepted Nyx and gave him the benefit of the doubt. Minnie would have just sent him on his way, or worse.
It was hard to swallow at first, and I felt just as deceived and betrayed as the others by the way he conned his way into this party, but like you, I try to give people the opportunity to prove themselves and their good intentions. In fact, it's one of the things I like most about you.
Oh, yes? And what are the other things, if you don't mind my asking?
Oh, putting me on the spot, eh? Well, all right. Let me see. You're kind, thoughtful, brave, strong. You're the kind of man one can have confidence in.
What makes you say that?
It's just your manner. Your way of going about things. You have respect for people, things, nature. And that means a lot to an elven girl. But beyond that, you know, it's in the things you do. The way you carry yourself. And don't think I haven't noticed how you've taken it upon yourself to look after young Zoe.
Oh, that's the big brother coming out in me.
Oh, sounds like you have some experience there. Do you have younger siblings?
A younger brother, yes. Had.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you lose him?
In a manner of speaking, let's just say I lost touch with him and the rest of my family some time ago. I'm not even sure any of them are still alive.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
There's really no need for you to be sorry, Rosa. You see, war came to our land. Many families were separated. Mine was no exception. I was forced to leave my homeland, which is how I ultimately ended up here. Well, in the Farron Woods with Dak and his men. And then ultimately, here, with you.
But don't you want to find your family? Your younger brother? I mean, to at least find out if they're still alive? Forgive me if I'm overstepping myself, but I would think you'd want to return to your homeland and search for them, rather than worry about helping a group of adventurers search for a young woman you don't even know.
You think I haven't looked for my family? For my brother? Oh, I did. It was one of the things that led me away from my homeland. For I believe my family fled our country to avoid the war. I did search for them, for a time. But the trail ran cold.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
There's no reason you should have. There's no way you could have known. I did search, believe me. But at some point, you just kind of have to join the land of the living again. Get on with your own life. So I did. So you see, there's absolutely no reason for you to be sorry about anything. I have simply remained on the path as it has been carved out for me.
It must be very hard for you, and so very lonely.
Hard, yes. Yes, it is. Not to know where my family are, or if they are still alive. And, oh yes, very, very lonely. At least, at times. But now, I'm here with you.
And being here with me, you don't feel so lonely anymore?
No, I don't.
I probably should have done that. I mean, we're colleagues on a quest that was just unprofessional.
I'm prepared to overlook any impropriety, if you are.
Well, yes, of course I...
Rosa, I... Oh, forgive me. It's a bad time.
Oh, Graber, no, you're fine. It's fine. Really. I just, had something in my eye, and Fitz was helping me. Weren't you, Fitz?
That's right. Yes, of course, helping. Helping Rosa here. That's it.
Oh, sure. I'm the Duke of Huntington. Well, I'll let you two wee turtle doves get back to whatever you want to call it.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear?
Maybe we shouldn't do that again, huh?
Well, maybe next time we should just be sure not to get caught, eh?
That would probably be for the best, yes? Anyway, we should help set up camp.
Yeah, good point. Let's go and set up camp, then.
Yes, we'll set up camp right now. Oh dear.
Is it that summons this here?
It is I, Faust Ravenclaw of the Hunani tribe.
You are not alone. Oh, no, you are not alone at all.
I have brought friends, O great Zisk.
Your party seeks Gira, Madame Bren Gira, or you would not be here. No one ever comes to see Zisk. Poor Zisk.
Forgive our intrusion, Honorable Zisk, but we seek answers to many important questions.
Oh, doesn't everyone?
It's a matter of life and death.
Who is this that speaks now, eh? Pretty one. Oh, she is. Ooh. Who are you?
I'm Rosa Durnham.
The daughter of King Arion of the Elves, no less?
That is who I am, yes.
Ooh, impressed are me.
Are you sure this little fellow's quite sane?
What is sane? What is insane? What does that have to do with it, eh? Eh?
He heard you.
Yes. Maybe you should keep your dwarven trap shut. Hey, Greybeard. Watch it, wizard.
Question Zisk's sanity all you like, but it will not help you to agitate him.
Mighty Zisk, we humbly beg your pardon.
I may give it, at least to you, Faust Ravenclaw, and the pretty girls here. Yes, Rosa Durnham, and who's this one here with the luscious red hair?
Zoe Underhill?
Is that a question or an answer?
I'm not sure myself sometimes.
Neither is this very wise young girl. Never be certain of anything. Yes, I like you. Pretty and wise. Love the red hair. I do.
Thank you. I think...
Ooh, I think I will allow an audience with Gira this day, yes, because I like red hair. Wait here.
What an odd fellow.
It seems we are fortunate that you came along, Zoe Underhill.
Yes, Zisk has taken a shine to you.
Oh, lucky me.
Lucky all of us, Zoe. It seems you have more value than you give yourself credit for. And I, for one, thank you for coming along.
Oh, well, I don't know what to say. You're welcome?
That's a good place to start. Thank you, Zoe.
Sure, anytime.
You have been listening to Magic Monsters of Mayhem, Book 3, The Journey Continues, Chapter 8, The Ever-Converging Path, written by Jonathan Patrick Russell, which starred in order of appearance. Wayne Hayward as Blondo, Alan Wayman as Hero, Gwendolyn Jensen Woodard as Fiona, Jonathan Patrick Russell as Plop, Shannon Lowry as Divine, Tanya Milojevic as Lily, Deborah Adams as Rosa, Ellie Hirschman as Faust, Dave Weaver as Greybeard, Jeff Niles as Waldo, Rebecca Thomas as Zoe, Gareth Severn as Nyx, Persephone Rose as Fitz, Victor Aureus as Rast, Julia Eve as Wyneth Traugott, Sarah Golding as Lady Natilda, and Jonathan Patrick Russell as Zisk. The Magic Monsters of Mayhem opening theme tune was composed and performed by Sarah Finn. The closing theme tune and the incidental music was provided by Kevin MacLeod. The production assistant was Rachel Rumler. The post-production editor was Jeff Niles. The series creator, sound designer, script editor, producer, and director was Jonathan Patrick Russell. The copyright for Magic Monsters of Mayhem is held by Dream Realm Enterprises. Any rebroadcast or reproduction of this program without express permission of Dream Realm Enterprises is strictly prohibited. Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit us on the web at dreamrealmsite.com. If you'd like to email us with any of your comments or questions, you may do so at darkbuilding1@yahoo.com. Please use the subject header MMM feedback. Our story will continue in Chapter 9, coming your way next time. Please join us then.
This program is copyright 2019, all rights reserved, and is brought to you by Dream Realm Enterprises. The journey continues.